I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. I'm here with my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall. Welcome to the Daily Journal, where we bring you the current events as told by Constitution, fact, and principle, not by the propaganda. And oh my, are we not just simply saturated with propaganda and just, if you'll pardon my French, idiots this day before midterm elections? I mean, seriously, can you believe what you're seeing, JC? It's just mind-blowing.
It's fun.
It's fun. He thinks this is fun.
I do. It's like a big sociology experiment. It just,
yeah.
I just love human behavior, and it's just, it's honestly, ever since Donald Trump has been elected, it's just been like one big study, sociological study, you know. You just see so much human behavior at such a pitched level. It's really amazing.
Well, I have taken some voting education from Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King says, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. My Lord, I have a dream today." And that quote came to my mind because somebody on Instagram tagged me in a post by Rihanna.
Oh, is that? I wonder who that was from.
Yeah, so Rihanna is a big Andrew Gillum fan. And Rihanna posts on, singers. She also...
Rihanna,
whatever.
Rihanna.
She's not only a performance artist, but she also makes clothes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Married to Jay-Z, or is that the other girl?
No, that's somebody else.
Bouncy?
Beyonce.
Yeah, Beyonce.
Bouncy. Funny. Okay, so anyway, somebody tagged me in Rihanna's post, and apparently she lives in Florida.
Oh, really?
Or she's just campaigning in Florida. I don't know. Right?
Yeah, it could because Oprah's campaigning for Abrams.
Oh.
I don't think Oprah lives in Georgia.
Well, apparently Oprah is also campaigning for Andrew Gillum.
Yeah, sure.
And so this
Birds
is
of a feather.
This is Rihanna saying, "You have the opportunity to make history this election in Florida. The U.S. has only had four black governors in its entire history. We can help make Andrew Gillum the next one and Florida's first." And so that's when Martin Luther King popped in my head, right? So Andrew Gillum would be the epitome of Martin Luther King's principle that we should judge people not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character, and which would obviously preclude Andrew Gillum from being elected to office. But I always, your little sociology experiment, I find it disturbingly interesting that those who would stand on the on the legacy of Martin Luther King will come out like Oprah and Rihanna and the rest of them and tell you that you have to vote for someone based on the color of their skin. And that's, you know, that's a problem in society. First and Martin Luther King actually recognized that as a problem in society.
Yeah, first off, I just wonder if she even knows the black governors and minority governors.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not. Because right. She said there was only four.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing is because you don't know where these people get their information. Like we
right.
were just searching.
That's right.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
What was it you asked me to search? Look up something.
I asked you to look up the first black mayor.
Right.
And
right.
the first woman mayor.
Yeah. So you end up with if you Google these things, you
right.
end up like I think the one in particular was, I don't know, 1967 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
First black mayor.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact we know Wentworth Chiswell in 1770 was 1770.
Oh, my
was
bad.
Was the first black mayor.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so if you look up, in fact, I think in Google you look up, you Google first black mayor.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's another 19.
It was 1960 something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When in fact the first African American elected to be governor of a state was in 1872. There was a Mexican American in 1875. I mean, so you have these, and I wonder if she knows which party that was also.
Right?
Because
right.
that's the other thing. Remember, what's his name? Gosh, I always forget this guy. Oh, Elijah Cummings, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that rides the coattails of
mm-hmm.
MLK and the civil rights movement. So he stood up and basically claimed that Democrats passed the 13th Amendment, I think is what he was talking about.
Right.
And which zero Democrats voted for. But
right.
yet he says that. And I saw it shared. In fact, it came up on my Instagram on a black history,
right.
quote unquote, black history account that I follow, which
so
is
the first
about
black
history,
mayor was Wentworth Chiswell in 1770. But if you Google it, then the first African American elected mayor of a U.S. town is Pierre Caliste Landry of Donaldsonville, Louisiana, in 1868. Now we can give them a sort of
well, another
little
Republican,
bit of a
without a doubt another Republican. By the way,
it doesn't tell me actually.
No Democrat would have been electing a black man in 1868. I promise you that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always the funny thing. So the history is always distorted. So that's what makes me wonder. So she says that I don't even sort of take that as face value because
right.
I've seen that I've now that we've been studying this, researching and presenting. America's black heritage, I don't trust this stuff because they don't generally know what they're talking about. And they've basically resorted, they're depending on the history they've been taught, which I don't know if I've talked about this on the air, but, we discussed the history that we give. And the book from William Cooper Nell was
right.
Frederick Douglass's publisher for the North Star, right? He had the book called Colored Patriots of the American Revolution. And that book was a standard part of the American education system, but
mm-hmm.
Incidentally, it was pushed out, and Woodrow Wilson's version of history was put in. Now, Woodrow Wilson is one of the biggest racists that we've ever had.
Yes,
certainly in the presidency in the history of the United States. But he's a progressive Democrat hero, and they don't want to talk about it. But but that's where their information, comes forward. Through this, really, their own heroes' propaganda in the history that has taken over educational system. So anyway, just a thought. Take what she's saying with a grain of salt.
Well, in the
it's quite possible she doesn't know what she's talking about.
It's quite possible. Women's history is exactly the same. So it was something that occurred to me, which is why we went on this search. We have these conversations in the hall vehicle as we're driving. And the first woman elected mayor in the United States was Oskaloosa, somebody in Iowa. Oskaloosa, Iowa. Her name was Nancy Smith.
Yep.
And she was elected in 1862.
Yeah. And when did they say what amendment was it?
Quote unquote gave women the right to vote. So then you have all of the progressive feminists say that women weren't involved in politics, that were denied politics and were denied the right to vote until 1920 when the 19th Amendment was ratified.
Right.
So how do you account for the fact? Now this is Wikipedia, mind you. So this is giving the liberals the benefit of the doubt, right? Mm-hmm. Because sure. Noticing Wikipedia doesn't mention anything about Wentworth Cheswell, doesn't mention anything about the black men in the, what was it, the Special Forces group?
Ethan Allen's Green Mountain Boys.
And so go through Wikipedia. There are, and I'm just scanning it, I didn't do an exact count, but
yeah,
there are like
list.
20 women.
Yeah.
Who were elected to mayor prior to 1920 when the 19th Amendment was ratified.
Yeah. So how do these guys reconcile that?
Well, they can't reconcile it. Well, first off, they say that 19th Amendment gave the women the right to vote. That's not even what the 19th Amendment says.
Yeah.
The 19th Amendment says that women have that right and it can't be taken away. But there's a big difference.
Yeah. So the logic should be with what they believe, the logic should be, okay, women didn't have the right to vote, so that would preclude them from holding office.
Well, yeah, of course.
How could that happen? Or if women didn't vote, then supposedly all the misogynist founders of America, because all the men hated women, right, up until the 19th Amendment. So is their explanation that all the men elected a female mayor?
Yeah.
Is that their logic?
Right, which would even more damaging to the misogynistic history, right? But here's the thing.
So those are some of the reasons as why you have to distort history.
Right.
You have to erase these people.
But here you have a list of women, at least 20 before 1920, who were not only elected, but you notice they were registered to a political party.
Yeah.
How do you get registered to a political party if you are not registered to vote?
Yeah.
What is the whole purpose of that? That makes no sense whatsoever.
So it's a whole racial narrative once again around Andrew Gillum. He's supposed to be some pioneer, some hero.
Oh,
he's some black pioneering hero. Therefore, we're supposed to vote for him because of that.
Well,
and you said, okay, what I learned from Martin Luther King Jr. is why I'm not voting for him because we're not supposed to vote just because he's black.
Right.
We're voting on the content of his character, and I find that lacking.
Well, but lacking is a very kind way of putting that.
I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah, I know, but look at it. Because we don't teach the true heroes of history, you have an entire generation of people propping up a reprobate like Gillum as a hero instead of Wentworth Cheswell. Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here with my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall.
By the way, Cheswell is no longer eligible to run for office.
Oh, he's not?
Wanted to make that
clear. Why is that?
Because you said we're supporting Gillum instead of Wentworth Cheswell.
Right.
Well, he's been dead.
No,
long.
As a hero.
Although he could run.
As a hero, not as.
I was going to say, he could run as a Democrat.
Yeah.
He's been dead a long time.
Yeah.
So.
No, I said they were propping up. Reprobates like Gillum as a hero instead of people like Wentworth Cheswell who were actually pioneers.
Yeah, well, you would literally have to prop him up if you want him to run for office. But he can only run on the Democrat ticket since he's dead.
Yeah, right. Hey, that's no joke. That is no joke at all. My parents, I grew up in St. Louis, and Missouri actually has had a couple dead people on the Democrat ticket run for office.
Knowing your family, you probably had dead people vote in your family. Vote Democrat.
Right, right, right. So I cannot reiterate to everyone just how important local elections actually are. Unfortunately, we are just so saturated with federal drama that we don't pay attention to local elections the way we should. Now, I'm talking about even at the very, very lowest levels of government. And I don't know if you remember seeing this article that I sent you, JC, but in Statham, Georgia, S-T-A-T-H-A-M, Statham?
Statham.
Statham. I didn't know if that was a th or not. In Statham, Georgia, the city council has banned a woman for life from attending city council meetings because they got tired of her criticizing the city and its officials on social media and at the city council meetings. Not only that, she is not only banned for life from city council meetings, she is banned from all municipal buildings for life.
Did you have to read Scarlet Letter when you were in school?
I did have to read Scarlet Letter.
I just made me think of that.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. So here's
Does she
the
have
thing.
To walk around with some letter?
I don't know, man. Do they? Is she like Statham, Georgia's most wanted? Her pictures on milk cartons and stuff, right? So she drove for 18 months. She drove from her Southwest Atlanta home to attend every city council meeting in the hamlet that sits about 15 miles west of Athens.
Wow, good for her.
She's a vocal participant, challenging city council members. And this year alone, according to local news, she filed by the Statham City Clerks an estimated close to 100 open records requests for documents regarding the city's budget, the police department, and general policy protocols. And they got tired of dealing with her. They call her an outsider. The problem is, so what happened?
What does that mean?
She doesn't live in that city. So here's what happened. Her partner had been involved in a protracted legal battle and civil rights lawsuit with the city of Statham over a 2015 traffic stop. And when her partner died, she kept up the fight. So she's like, just because my partner dies doesn't mean the city gets off on this lawsuit. They just waited around for him to die so they didn't have to do anything about it. She's like, no, I'm going to keep in this. And now they have decided that she's just completely banned from the entire city. And I'm actually pretty proud of her. She's going to challenge the city of Statham. But see, this
but
is the
no
kind
crime.
Of
crime. I mean,
no.
What is the crime? They're alleging she committed some crime, or she's just banned because she's annoying.
Because she's annoying. That's it. Because she files too many Freedom of Information Act requests, she files too many questions. And they said not only banning her from attending city council meetings, but from setting foot on any city-owned property within its 3.5 square miles. And the duration of her ban is the rest of her life.
Wouldn't this... This seems like a pretty clear-cut First Amendment case.
Sure, absolutely.
How does that work?
You know, because she's not actually harassing them. That is, she's not doing anything but asking questions.
As there again, men tear up our constitution, and from every direction, we cry revolution. Standing together and without permission, soldiers for truth in the war of attrition, the love of our country as our ammunition.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Oh, but I'm only a stranger.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Poor Cynthia has been banned for life. Her name is, Catherine Corcoran. Catherine Corcoran's been banned for life from Statham, Georgia city council meetings and any city-owned property within its 3.5 square miles for the rest of her life. And the danger of this is always, there's always a danger when you get the courts involved, especially on the local level. Mm-hmm. So she's going to have an endurance, maybe, to climb this.
True.
And the danger is that she's not a resident of the city. And so that could be a danger to this whole case. It could unfortunately be a thing where bad facts make bad law. You know that danger, right? Because she's not actually a citizen. She's not actually a resident of that city. But here's the thing. They're trying to ban her, not for violence, not for crimes, but simply because of disagreements and criticisms that she has with the way the city council runs their business.
Well, it apparently started with her partner calling the officer a jackass.
Yeah.
So it seems to be like a running theme.
Yeah. So they have sedition laws there in Statham.
Yeah, yeah, you can't don't criticize.
Don't criticize the king.
I noticed they said the mayor... The mayor's been in office for 20 years.
Uh-huh. Well, that's pretty common with these little towns.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, they're obviously, if they like the guy, then
right,
that's their business. But I think for most people, that would probably kind of send up a red flag, you know, from the outset.
Right.
People have kind of a, you know, that sort of casts doubts. When people see folks in office for so long, mm-hmm. they think, I mean, you automatically think, corruption and nepotism and that sort of thing. I mean, look at Bill Nelson. Like we got Rick Scott running against Bill Nelson. Bill Nelson's been in office almost a half 46 century.
46 years.
Now, I'm not a Rick Scott fan. I kind of think he's a crook, but I feel really inclined to vote for Scott. Just like I don't care who the guy running against Bill Nelson is. If it was Donald Duck, I'd be like, okay, I got to vote for Donald Duck.
It's Florida. We could actually vote for Donald Duck.
Yeah, true. Some people do in Florida.
Yeah, right.
But I think, you know, my thought is 46 years, that's just too long.
Yeah.
I mean, even if Rick Scott is an idiot, you know, okay, let's let him serve a term and then we can get him out next time.
Mm-hmm.
But 46 years? Good grief.
So here's my advice to the people of Statham, Georgia. If you want to have a problem with the fact that Catherine Corcoran is not an actual resident of Statham, Georgia, and you want to justify what the city is doing to her, just remember that could be you and a mentality like this, because this is the thing. Here's my question. Why isn't anybody in Statham, Georgia asking the questions that she's
right.
asking?
Yeah.
Right?
There's a better question.
That's the better question. Because you know, they want to kick her out because she's questioning their budget. They're questioning their mechanisms of the city council. The people of Statham, Georgia ought to be questioning that.
Okay. Let me sort of take the other side, because looking at her personal story, and I think you were, before I took it in a different direction, you were maybe going to comment on this. These First Amendment lawsuits sometimes are a toss-up when you get in the court. And
right.
I think in this case, isn't there a slim possibility that they could look and see, okay, this is simply retribution for what you see as an injustice about your partner being, uh-huh. in your view, wrongfully convicted? And so this is just harassment.
Well, I suppose you could say, again, this is the kind of coin toss that you deal with when these things get into the courts. That would be a more valid perspective if she wasn't actually addressing specific issues.
Yeah.
Right? So if she was just blindly attacking people's character, whatever, but she's doing is asking for
allowed.
Documents.
Yeah. She's doing things that are allowed.
She's doing things that are allowed.
And wouldn't they also
and raising questions that ought to be asked.
And wouldn't they also have to, I mean, if you think it's harassment or whatever, you'd have to file that specifically.
Right, exactly.
Not just some random you're banned because you're annoying.
Right, exactly. And this is the other thing. There's been no criminal charges filed against this woman. They're just simply saying, we are sick and tired of the questions that you're asking and the volume with which you're asking your questions. So we're not only going to ban you from city council meetings, we're going to ban you from every city property on a 3 mile radius, 3.5 mile radius.
Don't you think we need annoying
square
people?
Miles.
We need annoying people in general in at all levels of government like this?
We should all be annoying like this.
Yeah.
See, I always tell people, in especially in local government, if your city council member doesn't know you by sight, if your county commissioners don't know you by sight, if your state legislators don't groan when you walk up, you're not doing something right, because a society built on liberty requires a struggle. Now, that doesn't mean you're obnoxious.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're abusive. But what it does mean is that you can't live in harmony with your government. Because if you're living in a peaceful situation, Thomas Jefferson said this, if you're living in a peaceful situation with your government, you're likely enslaved.
Meaning you're not just going along with everything.
Right.
You're not watching and they're doing whatever.
Right.
Unopposed.
You got a great friend that's a city council member. That's great. He's got to be a great friend, but he also has to be a good enough friend to understand that I'm going to be watching you and I'm going to be criticizing you.
Yeah. I think every form of government has to have a feeling of being watched.
Yes.
Almost being overwatched.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the whole principle that Richard Henry Lee talked about in his letter from Federal Farmer. I don't remember which one, but where he was talking about how the senators were placed, the U.S. senators were placed on automatic recall as a mechanism to keep the people continually attentive of the actions of their senators, but also to keep the senators aware that they are continually being watched. Because politicians in government, unfortunately, are like a room full of kindergartners with cookie jars scattered all over. You can't tell the room full of kindergartners, don't touch the cookie jar, and then leave the room and expect the cookie jar not to be touched. You've got to be there supervising and even slapping hands every now and again. And that's what this woman is doing, and that's why they've banned her.
Good
so
for her.
I think it's really great.
Bad news for the city, because this doesn't look like something that you'd win, and then they're going to end up wasting local taxpayer money making these kind of decisions.
Yeah. Well, they're already going to have a settlement in some way, even if they try to fight it or not, because they issued the ban. Once again, though, I mean, seriously, this is an issue with somebody being not a resident of the city, which could be the one point that works contrary to her efforts. But I want to ask again all of our listeners in Georgia, because we have listeners in the Atlanta area in Georgia. We have listeners in Georgia in other places. Hey, if you live in Statham, you know people who live in Statham. Why aren't these people asking these questions?
Yeah, they're probably mad at the lady.
Yeah, well, and that's just too bad. But
if you just knew how annoying she was, Chrisanne.
If you knew what they said about Chrisanne Hall in Tallahassee.
Well, that's what they said about James Otis Jr.
Yeah, that's what they said about
him. You know how irritating this guy was.
Right, exactly.
He won't mind his own business.
But this is why we have to pay attention to local politics.
Well, what about international politics? Did you notice the report about Louis Farrakhan joining in a chant of death to America while he's visiting Iran?
So that doesn't surprise me. He is a loon. He's a total loon.
I don't see how people can continue to follow this guy. Or I should say anybody that supports this guy. It's a good indication that they're not right in the head.
Keith Ellison?
Yeah.
Again, local politics. So we also have local politics. We have two New York lawmakers are working to draft a bill that would propose a social media check before you can purchase a gun in New York. So you have Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams and State Senator Kevin Palmer proposal would allow state authorities to review 3 years of social media history and 1 year of internet search history of any person seeking to purchase a firearm. And what are they looking for?
Who knows?
Hate speech is what they say.
Yeah, but...
But what's the limit?
What is it? What is hate speech?
That's exactly it.
I just saw a thing on social media where somebody hung a piece of paper in a bathroom that said, it's okay to be white. And that was a hate... That's hate speech.
No. Yeah, but see, here's the thing. Hate speech, no matter how you classify it, is still supposed to be protected speech.
Yeah.
Even the Supreme Court of the United States has said for over 60 years, for all of you judicial supremacists and federal worshipers, that hate speech is protected speech. They've even said burning a cross is protected speech, although that's probably... You know, not a something that would be frowned on today unless it was considered to be racial, because, you know, we have such anti-Christian rhetoric today. So a Muslim could burn a cross and it would be all right. But nonetheless, you know, you can't burn a cross on somebody else's property because that's arson. Right. But you can burn a cross in your own property. You can burn a flag. I know that makes people mad. You can stomp on a flag. You can spit on a flag. You can put dog do on a flag in a public assembly. I know that makes lots of people mad. But nonetheless, we don't have a First Amendment freedom of speech reminder to remind us to protect popular speech. Popular speech needs no protection. And I was talking to somebody on social media about Gab. Remember, the Facebook alternative Gab was shut down.
By the way, before you leave that flag thing, that's always a good status indicator. If you are a status, right? Like the comedian guy, you might be a status if
you might be a redneck.
So when I hear that,
status,
oh, these people burning the flag, they ought to take them out and shoot them. You ought to be thrown in prison, hanged. You know, that's okay. That's like status radar. Okay, there's a status.
Yeah, right. Because it
made me mad. So. People ought to die because of it, right?
Yeah, so we're going to go into this break. I want to talk about Gab real quick when we come back, because I've been getting some social media questions on that.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here with my husband and co-host JC Hall. This is our last section, JC.
It's fast. This
it
is
goes
too fast.
So Gab is the alternative to Facebook. A lot of conservative people left Facebook to go to Gab. PayPal shut it down, but now they're back up again. And the questions that I'd been getting about this had to do with the fact that, you know, there's all these reports about anti-Semitic speech on Gab or whatever. And here's the thing. Gab is set up on the principle of uncensored speech.
Right.
Facebook is not. So that's why people left Facebook, because they wanted to go to a forum where there is uncensored speech. Now, here's the problem that we have. People, even conservatives, right, don't want to be offended. And so here's the thing. So now you have people getting outraged at the quote-unquote anti-Semitic speech on Gab. I don't know. I'm not on Gab. I don't know if it's happening or if it's not happening. But you got to ask yourself a question. You got to ask yourself, do you want a forum with uncensored speech? Or do you want a forum where your speech can be censored? Because that's the only alternatives that you have. So you give a forum an opportunity to censor, or you say, I want a forum that's completely uncensored. And then you have to take your lumps with it. So if you want a forum with completely uncensored speech, then you have to be willing to suffer the words of fools in order for you to have your uncensored speech. Now, notice I say that very clearly, JC, uncensored speech, not free speech. right? Because we're dealing with private business forums. You don't have a legal free speech right, but you have a forum that's set up based on uncensored speech. So shut up and go with it.
I don't have a problem, okay, with somebody like Gab or even Facebook having guidelines for their mm-hmm. community, okay? What I have a problem with is the hypocrisy.
Right.
Okay. Is the fact that Facebook says here are our guidelines and it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
They target speech that they don't like. Okay.
Yeah, but McDonald's says their hamburgers are all beef.
Yeah, so I wouldn't have a problem if Gab said, you know, if you make threats of violence
right.
If you know, even what in the world am I hearing?
I don't know. Something on your computer is
Fox.
Making noise.
Fox is always popping
Fox
up.
Is annoying stupid their
videos.
Website. So
but, yeah, so I don't have a problem. So the problem is if you don't have those guidelines, right, you can't say we don't allow hate speech. That's not – there's no definition to that. What does that
right.
mean? So it can't be subjective. So that's the problem with Twitter and Facebook. You know, any of this stuff that they have, so-called guidelines,
mm-hmm.
it's this sort of thing, this amorphous thing, and it's put in the hands – of somebody to make their own determination or some AI, and then the AI is programmed by some lefty loon.
So now,
it's not used. It's not specific.
Right.
It's not. What is the word I'm looking for? It has to be defined if you're going to have guidelines like that.
But you can't define hate speech. You can't do it because hate is subjective to
begin with. No, that's what
And so now we've got these.
You talk about violence and harm. And,
right.
You know,
exactly. Things that are actions,
not because,
words.
Yeah, not just you don't like it or it's obnoxious, whatever. And I mean, you can have guidelines about abusive speech, but that's when it starts to unravel.
And that's why local elections are so important, because now you've got these two New York legislators, a state senator and a borough president, looking to create guidelines to limit an inherent right to self-defense
yeah.
by someone's definitions and interpretations of your words. Am I offended? No. Let's see. You don't have a right to not be offended. But I have a right to be offensive.
Yeah.
That's how this works. I also have a right to defend myself, a right to secure my life, my own liberty, my own property. And if that's going to be limited by a bunch of hypocrites by their definition of hate, then these are the kind of tyrants that we're talking about that need to be eliminated from government. That's why local is so important. Go out and vote tomorrow. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.